good Christian music, the old-time music. Amen. And I enjoy being here. Thank you, Brother Daniel. They don't laugh at my jokes either. Oh, nothing like optimism, is there? I was thinking, I heard a couple stories about the snow, you know, came February down the back counties. And one, the schools were closed, you know, for a couple weeks and kept the kids out of school. And so finally they got to go back to school. And the teacher asked one little boy, said, 8-year-old boy, said, "Did you use your time out of school constructively?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I sure did. I prayed for more snow." Then I heard of another elderly lady that the Red Cross got worried about her. She lived way back up on up in the holler, up on top of a mountain back there all by herself, and had lived there for years and years. And they got worried about her, and snows came, and trees fell. And they said, "You know, we need to go check on her." And they got their four-wheelers and their chainsaws and three or four men and sawed their way and pushed snow and finally got back there to where she was at and knocked on the door. And she came to the door, and the house was real warm. They could feel the heat coming out and a big smile on her face. And one man said, "We're from the Red Cross." She said, "Sonny, I'm sorry, but I can't help you today. I give it the office." She was as warm as she could be. But anyway, that's a good positive attitude. And sometimes if we would have that type of attitude, amen, the Lord could help us more. I'm thankful to be here. I really am. And I enjoyed being here last night. I appreciate the water. If I need it, thank you, brother, and I probably will. And I don't know about y'all, but I have allergies a lot this time of year, and I stopped and got me some medicine today. I had run out, and I try to get the kind that don't make me sleepy. And boy, you can't hardly operate like that, but sometimes your throat needs a little drink. But I'm just looking for the Lord to do special things. And I do thank you for being here. Brother Boone said last night to call and to pray. And man, if we just get to praying, I mean, get serious about serving the Lord. And we have to put Him first. And I'm going to preach a little message out of John chapter 5 tonight. And as I preach, I want you to think on this line, no one but Jesus. No one but Jesus. And I think that when we can get our life lined with Him, no one but Him. And in John chapter 5, and in reverence to the Word, would you stand as I read the Word tonight? Those that are able and would, just a few verses. Begin reading in verse number 1, very familiar scripture. And please pray for me that I might be a vessel that would honor our Lord tonight. I desire that much. In verse 1, the Bible said, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. He saith unto him, 'Wilt thou be made whole?' The impotent man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.' Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. How many believes that story tonight? I believe that. That's the word of God. I believe it's true. Will you pray for me as I pray tonight? Father, as I come to you in Jesus' precious name, dear Lord, we want to realize that it's no one but you, no one but Jesus tonight that has placed us where we are. I thank you, Lord, for saving us. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. I thank you, Father, for the privilege to serve you. And dear Lord, as we come and just asking your guidance, and seem like my heart was burdened for these familiar scriptures tonight, I'm just asking you might use me for a little while. Dear Lord, preach through me, and Father, that when we leave, we can say it's been good to be in your house. Dear Lord, that your people could be revived. Dear Lord, that the sinner could be warned, that the sinner could be convicted and drawn unto you. And let them see that no one but Jesus can save them. So I pray, Father, you'll help me now. I do pray you'll do something special, dear Lord, in this place this week. I pray, Father, that what you in mind, that we'll follow you, we'll find your mind, and we'll follow you in the direction that you'd have us go. So we'll thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You be seated. No one but Jesus. This is a familiar scripture. It is a powerful scripture in the Word of God. If you look at this, and when I read this, I'm saddened for many facts. I think about, first of all, as I think about the redemptive plan of the Lord Jesus Christ and how our Lord died for the sins of the world. And he hadn't died yet. He was still, as a matter of fact, the Bible said in verse 1, after this, there was a feast. Our Lord was still healing people. He was still preaching the Word of God. He was still doing what our Lord did, and that was good, and doing perfect in the sight of his Father. I'm saddened to the fact many times that I see a picture in verse 3 for redemption. The reason I'm saddened tonight is because in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. The reason I look at this as a picture for redemption is because, listen, as the Word of God said, the water had to be moved. And we're living in a day that the spiritual waters are not moving like they once did. We're living in a day when things are not happening. I don't think truth is being preached like it once was. But I want to be optimistic about this situation. I look at those that the Word of God said were impotent folk. In other words, they weren't able to move on their own. They were blind and halt and I withered. I think about what sin does in our life. It blinds us. It withers us. It brings us down. It puts us to a place of impotency. Even after we're saved and we do not feed upon the Word and upon the things of God, we get in a state, a sad state. And this is a picture of redemption. If there's ever a time and ever a day that this preacher and you as believers need to serve him and love him, it's the day in which we're living. I'm telling you, things and time is getting short. I believe hell is still hot and people are dying off our church pews and dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. And oh, how we need to see this picture of what the Lord is trying to get us to see, and maybe waiting for the moving of the water. I want to say we just can't get saved any time we want to. And I'm glad for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Not only do I see a picture for redemption, but I see a place for redemption. Look in verse number 2. In verse 2, the Bible said, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches." Through the mind of faith, as our eyes would see this place and the porches that might be surrounding this pool of water, and we see all of these people that are laying there waiting for the moving of the water. They're on these porches waiting to get in. I want to say there's a place that you became a Christian. There was a place that God picked for you. There was a place that God chose for me to be saved by His grace. Oh, when the moving of the water came, I made three professions before I ever got saved. Amen. But I'm telling you, that third one has stuck. I mean, I'm glad I got born again. I'm glad I got saved by the grace of God. Nothing like it. I see a picture for redemption. I see a place for redemption. You know, the Lord has a place. When we come to His house and we gather as a church, we fellowship as believers, and we come in unity, I believe God is preparing the place for the moving of the water. Now, I want to tell you, I sensed His presence here last night, and I'm sensing His presence right now. Amen. I'm glad if it wasn't, I'd just close my Bible and we just say, let's come back tomorrow night and try it again. I like preaching under the anointing of the Spirit of God. I'm glad and I'm thankful there's a place. Not only do I see a picture, not only do I see a place, but I want to say there is a price for redemption. Let me say this. No one but Jesus could pay the price to put you where you are tonight. Amen. The Lord Jesus is the only one. I'm thankful for what He did for me on Calvary. Could I read about it just a little bit in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible said, Peter wrote this, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." You see, these folk no doubt wasn't able to pay. A lot of them were blind, no doubt, halt, wasn't able to work, didn't have no money. Amen. And if that was the case, then none of us could be saved. I mean, if we had to pay or if we had to do good, these folk were just laying there waiting for the moving of the water. I see a price was paid. The Bible said that it wasn't the things of this world. Jesus said, And it wasn't tradition, and it wasn't things that you could touch or see or feel. But He said, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot," a picture of redemption, a place for redemption, a price for redemption. Our Lord paid the price. No one but Jesus could pay that price. Not only do I see a picture and a place and a price, but thank God I see a plan for redemption. In verse 4, the Bible said, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool." Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how often. It just said at a certain season. But you know what I'd like to see down around Central Baptist and at Valley View Baptist? I'd like to see that season every time we meet to worship. Amen. That we could come in one mind and in one spirit and just believe God for the troubling of the water. I believe the Holy Spirit is still the most powerful being on this earth. I really do. I believe that everything's controlled by Him. I believe God is no surprise on what's going on in our world. It hasn't took God by surprise. I believe His patience, no doubt, is running out. But I want to say, as long as we've got time to preach Christ and say, no one but Jesus, let's do it. Let's preach the Lord Jesus, His plan. And that is, in this season, the angel went down to the pool at a certain season and troubled the water. You know, there's an old saying, the old preachers, and now I'm getting old and I'm still saying what the old preachers said. Amen. I've heard them say many, many times, you need to get in. The water's troubled tonight. I've heard that all of my life. The angels troubled the water. That's nobody but the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'll tell you, we're living in a time, and I want to say this, we're substituting emotions for the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're substituting feelings for the Spirit of God and emotions and things that we can touch and things we can feel. And I'm telling you, sometimes the Lord, He's not swinging from the chandeliers and He's not running the aisle, but thank God He's speaking in a small, still voice. And preacher, He's troubling the waters in my heart, in your heart, in Brother Boone's heart, in people's hearts, that they could be saved. I don't know how, Brother Richard, I don't know how often he came, but when he troubled the waters, things happened. Amen. Boy, if there's ever a day that we need that, it's these days. This plan that he has, and you know, church, let's get back to the plan. Let's get back to coming to church. Let's get back to the old way. Somebody said, oh, the old way don't work. I beg your pardon. Amen. By the way, if it's no one but Jesus, it's the only way. It's the only way. The picture, the place, the price, the plan. But then I see the person of redemption. I've talked much about him already. The Bible said this angel came. And if there's ever a time we need the presence of the Spirit of God, it's these days which we live. I'm not here to preach politics. I don't care to tell you where I stand. Amen. I'll stand for anybody that'll call Jesus their Lord. Amen. I'm not here to preach politics. I'm here to preach Christ. No one but Jesus. The angel came, troubled the water at a certain season. If there's ever a time that this person, the Spirit of God, needs to be let in our hearts to have full reign and full control, it's these days which we live. You know, we see the plight in this of sinful man. We see the power of Christ, but I'm yet to say no one but Jesus. I want to look at this man just very briefly. That was just the introduction. I've got three things, and I'll spend about 10 minutes on these three things. About the man. And there might be someone like this tonight, and I'm going to say this, I was this way. I remember it well. I've been saved nearly 50 years, but I still remember being lost and what it was like to be lost. And this man was no different than you. He was no different than me. But I want you to notice something in verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 30 and 8 years. And then he said in verse 7, when Christ had asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." I'll say, first of all, this man had no hope without Christ. You say, it's awful simple. I'm going to tell you something. If you go to heaven, you'll go through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way that you're going to go. Amen. Is by and through Jesus Christ. It'd be a lot easier if church membership would take you to heaven. It'd be a lot easier if baptism would take you to heaven. It'd be a lot easier if works would take you to heaven. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. 38 years this man lay, had this infirmity. The Bible doesn't say how long he'd been there, but he said, every time I try to get in, someone gets in front of me. Can you feel the frustration that he must have felt? He had no hope. You know, a lot of folk today have no hope. And church, It's up to you and I, up to you and I, to bring hope to this world. Amen. Amen. We need to put a smile on our face. A lot of times people think you're crooked. If you're smiling, they think you're up to something. But you know the Lord will make you smile. When you think about what Jesus did for you on Calvary, I was a person that had no hope. You were a person that had no hope without Jesus Christ. And man, I hadn't forgot where he brought me from. I haven't forgot where he saved me from. I can't imagine how this man failed. He couldn't move. And then he said, people get in front of me. There was no hope for him. Aren't you glad for the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful that Christ brings hope? Amen. You say this world is gone. Church, let's get refired up and let's love Jesus Christ and offer some hope to a lost and dying world. Sure, they're going to laugh at us. Some of them will. Some of them will make fun of us. But you know what? I've witnessed to folk 20 years ago, I've been witnessing to since 1971. You think of it, 1972. I've been witnessing. I haven't won him yet. I buried his son. His son died. My cousin, I buried his son last March. I said, surely he'll be saved through this. His son told me he was blind. He'd been blind for years. And I don't mean to get into telling tales, but he'd been blind and he had to quit his job. He was a diabetic, 42 years old. He had a brain aneurysm. On top of that, he had a heart attack. And I walked in the ICU unit, and his wife was there, and said, he won't know who you are. And I said, well, how are you? And he opened his eyes and said, Les, is that you? Hadn't heard my voice in 2 years. And I said, Brian, I come to tell you about Jesus today. He said, I'm all right, I'm saved.
Amen.
Said, I got saved. Amen. But his daddy's still lost. I've still been trying to, and I'm going to tell you, he's without hope. Unless he comes to Christ, he's going to die and go to hell. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, let me read this, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But listen to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There was a time I was without hope. Amen. There was a time I was without salvation. But thank God I trusted in Jesus of Calvary. No one but Jesus. The man had no hope. Number two, he had no one. Wow. You know, there's a lot of people in this world just like that, aren't they? They have no hope. Verse 7 said he had no one. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. I have no man. Brother T.D. Burgess, I don't know how many of you know him. He's 85 years old. He preaches about 35 revivals a year. He was just with us back in March. He was a man that was preaching when I got saved. And we had got separated for many, many years. Brother T.D. is still full of life. God has blessed him so much. And he has just dedicated his life solely to Christ. He don't have any hobbies. He don't have any sports. He does nothing but preach the Word of God. And he testified in the pulpit that every church that he went to that year, that he had asked for a show of hands, and I'm not asking you this, but he had asked for a show of hands on how many people in the congregation had one or at least witnessed to one person in the past 12 months in a year? And he told me in all of his meetings he had had three people raise their hand. What's happening today? Why are we not telling others about Christ? This man had no one to help him. And I'm going to say, if folk go to heaven, it's going to be people like me and you that try to tell them and witness to them how to get there. I'll guarantee the Budweiser crowd won't do it. I'll guarantee the pornographic crowd's not going to do it. This world that's drunk on sports crowd's not going to do it. Amen. I don't have anything against ball. I don't have anything against sports. But I do say when it becomes a god and it interferes with his spirit, it's wrong. It's wrong. He had no one. First of all, he had no hope, and then he had no one to help him into the pool. When the angel would come and trouble the waters, and my, how we need to be witnesses. You know, my folk tell me, and they'll say, Preacher Les said, it's so hard to witness to my family. That's the first people I went after was my family. I went after my in-laws, and I think I had a little part. My father-in-law was 75 years old when he got saved. Christmas Day, I got down before him in front of the family on Christmas Day. I was young in the Lord. My wife was young in the Lord. And I got down before him like this in the living room. And I said, Ike, you ought to get saved. Jesus died for you. Jesus loved you. And I began to cry in front of the whole family. The whole living room was full that day. God told me, I was on Christmas Day. And I got up. Ike was a good man, a little bitty man. He lied to me one time. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Before he got saved. And just a little bitty fella. And we prayed for Ike. We'd take his name to the altar. We used to do that in our church. We'd bring their names and put them in a jar. And then everybody gather around our lost people. And try to win our families to God. I went after my family. I'm still going after my family, those that we've not won to Christ. But January, if I remember the date, January 3rd, we got a call from my mother-in-law. Said, we got news that I just got saved in the tobacco barn. Stripping tobacco, and he called on Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it pays to tell your family about Jesus Christ. But after I had witnessed to him, boy, the old devil got on me. And I wanted to just get under the couch. I was so, well, you know how you are. The devil said, well, that's foolish. But I want to think I had a little part. Amen. And went to my dad-in-law. Preached his funeral. Preached my mom-in-law's funeral. Preached my wife's. God has been so good. This fella had no one. No one. How many raise their hand and say, Preacher, will you pray for me that I'll tell more people? Will you pray for me? I want to tell more people. I want my life that I'll be able to tell more people about the Lord. He was desperate, man. He was desperate. He had no hope. First of all, he couldn't move. And then nobody cared about him. Nobody cared about him. It seemed like we don't care about the murders and the drunks and, you know, let them go to hell. But you know, that's who Jesus came to die for. You know, I don't know where I'd be if the Lord hadn't saved me. Don't know where I'd be. He had no one. There's a lot I need to say here. I want to say first thing, we're helpless in saving ourselves. We can't save ourselves. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Preachers, keep preaching the word. Preach the word. Preach hell hot and heaven sweet. Amen. And the blessings of God upon all that. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful book. Preach the word. We're helpless in saving ourselves. We're helpless in changing our sinful nature. We can't do it. It takes the blood of Christ. Amen. But I'm glad he shed his blood for me. I'm glad he shed his blood for you. I'm glad he shed his blood for every drunk. I'm glad he shed his blood for every adulterer. I'm glad he shed his blood for every sinner that'll call on him. He had no one to tell him, no one to help him. So many times I feel like I'm doing such a poor job telling others about Christ. In the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 18. Bible said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would do, that I do." Oh my. "Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Oh, listen. Listen. We cannot change ourselves. Amen. We're sinners by nature. Sin lives within us. We cannot change ourselves. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 6, listen to this one. "For when we were yet without strength," excuse me, "in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." There it is, no one but Jesus. So when I had no hope, and when I had no one, my Lord was willing to die for me. Wow. Now it's up to me to tell somebody else about Jesus. But then, this man had no hope, he had no one, but he had nowhere to go but to Jesus. And you know what? I think that's when and how people get saved. When they realize that they're at their wit's end. When the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is so strong. When they're willing to turn from their wicked ways and repent and turn to Christ. And turn to the one that is able to save them. It's a blessing. The Bible said there in verse 6, latter part of the verse, he said, "Will thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" I'm glad he asked me that question. Will you receive me? Boy, he didn't do a halfway job either. Amen. I'm glad when he cleans us up, we're clean. I'm glad when he washes our sins away, they're washed. We're clean. When he sees me, he doesn't see me as I was. He sees the blood of his son. Isn't that a blessing? Thank God. Thank God. He sees the blood of his son. Jesus said to him, "Rise and take up thy bed and walk." You know, immediately the man was made whole, the Bible said. He just didn't heal him halfway. He didn't heal part of his body. The Bible said he was made whole. And that's what happened when we're saved by God's grace. We're made whole. We're made whole. I love that. He had nowhere to go but to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came to him. I'm glad he came to me. I'm glad I repented of my sin. The Bible said, "As many as received him." What did this man do? When Jesus asked him, he said, "Take up thy bed." What did he do? He obeyed what Christ said. I don't know your heart tonight. But you know if you're saved or not. You know if you need Jesus Christ tonight. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Isn't that wonderful? "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Do you remember the time, the place? You may not remember the date, but do you remember where you received him? Amen. I'd take you within 2 feet of where I was saved. Amen. Amen. The reason I say within 2 feet, because the church had been remodeled. Amen. Amen. And I know where it happened. And if you can't remember where it happened, you may not be saved tonight. This man, I believe, remembered. He took his bed and he's walking. And I'm not going to get into this. But you know what happened after that? They begin to criticize him, criticize the Lord, and put the Lord down. But I remember where I got saved, when I got saved. And I know I got saved. But only through Christ. No one but Jesus. Brother Delaney, when the troopers would come to my home and give me a lecture, and when the deputies would come to my home and lecture me, and when I'd go in front of the judge and he lectured, that didn't help me much. But boy, when I found the Lord, I've not had anybody. I've not been back in court. Isn't that wonderful? I say, listen, Jesus makes a difference. He makes a difference. He makes a difference. Won't you come and lead us in an invitation? Brother Daniel, will you join me? And you know, I don't know your need tonight. Maybe you need a little extra to witness to a loved one. Maybe you need to just come tonight and pray and ask you to be a light to your family. Start with your family. Amen. Start with your friends and your family. And this man was in a hopeless situation, but no one but Jesus could help him. And I'm glad Jesus came by. You may be here tonight not sure you're saved. Maybe you can't remember when the Lord saved you. Won't you come tonight? He said, preacher, I want to go to heaven. I really do. I don't want to miss heaven. Maybe you just need to give your life and your heart to Jesus tonight. If he's troubling the waters, if your soul is convicted, your heart is about to beat out of your chest, he'll save you. Father, I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord, for what he did for me. God, not what I want to be, but Lord, I'm not what I used to be. And I thank you for that. Lord, as the dear brother, Brother Covington, sung, I want to be in your will. I don't want to be in your way. Draw me closer to you. Lord, during this invitation, please cause people to come. Burden them for their families. There is hope. That hope is in Christ. This man had no hope. He had no one to tell him. But we can tell our families about Jesus. This man had nowhere to go but to you. Maybe someone's here tonight. And you're calling them and drawing them. They're going to come to you and receive you as Savior. So I pray this prayer. Move tonight during this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now we're going to sing. And I want you to follow the Spirit of God. Would you come? Find your place on the altar. You feel burdened to come. That the Lord will help you, Brother Paul. You lead us in a song.
Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 270. Hymn 270, Just As I Am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches heal, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen.